Right now, there is a candidate out there with a newly printed digital marketing certificate who is just watching their resume go straight into a recruiter's trash bin.
Oh yeah, happens every single day.
Right. Meanwhile, another candidate who, spent a small fortune on a premium training boot camp is stepping into a six-figure media buying role. And the crazy thing is, on paper, if you look at the syllabus they studied, they read the exact same textbooks.
Exactly. They learned all the exact same vocabulary.
So, what invisible asset did that second person actually buy? I mean, what's the real difference?
It's such a compelling contrast, really, and it points to this massive shift in how we actually acquire technical skills today. I mean, the market is just entirely saturated with online courses.
Oh, completely flooded.
Yeah, and because of that, the correlation between the price tag you see on a website and the actual quality of the education, it's murkier than it's ever been.
Okay, let's unpack this because today we actually have our hands on a really fascinating piece of source material that kind of acts as a decoder ring for this exact problem.
It really does.
We are looking at this comprehensive guide published in August 2026. It's by Brawley Academy, which is this software training institute operating out of Hyderabad. And the document is titled, very straightforwardly, Performance Marketing Course Fees.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note while the guide uses performance marketing as its central case study, as the primary example, our mission for this deep dive is actually much broader.
Right, we're zooming out.
Exactly. We're going to extract a universal framework from this text. We want to give you, the listener, a concrete method for evaluating the true return on investment for, well, really any professional upskilling program you might be considering right now.
Because there's a lot of noise out there.
So much noise.
Okay.
The goal is to cut through all that marketing fluff and identify the underlying mechanisms that actually justify a premium price.
So before we can evaluate that value, we really have to establish the baseline. We need to understand how these institutes like actually structure their pricing.
Right, where do they even start?
Well, a lot of people fall into the trap of thinking about online courses like buying a gym membership, where the $10 basic tier gets you in the door and the premium tier gets you a personal trainer and a towel.
Right.
But reading through this guide, I feel like a better analogy might actually be financial trading.
Oh, that's interesting. How so?
Like, you can buy a $10 app on your phone that lets you play a stock market simulation game, right? Or you can pay a huge premium for a live Bloomberg terminal that gives you real-time data logic and market access.
Oh, I like that.
The difference isn't just the features, it's the actual proximity to reality.
That framing aligns perfectly with how the source breaks down the industry standard. They categorize it into three distinct tiers of training. And it explicitly warns against the assumption that a high fee automatically means you are getting that Bloomberg terminal.
Right, because sometimes you aren't.
Exactly. Sometimes a high fee just subsidizes the institute's own aggressive advertising budget.
Yeah, you're just paying for the ads that targeted you in the first place.
Basically. So to avoid that trap, you really have to look at what the curriculum actually forces you to do.
Okay, let's walk through those tiers, starting with the baseline.
So the entry-level programs are everywhere. They're completely ubiquitous. These target absolute beginners and focus pretty much entirely on foundational definitions.
The basic stuff.
Yeah, you'll get a broad introduction to digital marketing, a high-level overview of Google Ads, and maybe a walkthrough of the Meta Ads interface.
And I'm guessing the fee here is pretty low.
Incredibly low. It's designed to capture volume, get as many people in as possible. But the critical flaw here is the total lack of a live sandbox. You're essentially just memorizing a dictionary.
Right. You are learning what the buttons are called, but you aren't learning the actual financial discipline of spending someone else's money when you press them.
Which is the entire job. And that leads directly to the intermediate tier.
Okay, what changes here?
This is where the curriculum expands into the mechanics of tracking and attribution. The text specifically highlights the inclusion of search and display advertising, but more importantly, tools like Google Analytics 4 or GA4 and Google Tag Manager.
I want to pause on those specific tools for a second because I think they perfectly illustrate why a step up in price is actually required here.
Yeah, they really do.
Because Google Tag Manager isn't just some abstract marketing concept, it's a technical workaround. It literally empowers a marketer to deploy tracking code and conversion pixels on a website without having to, submit a ticket to the engineering team and wait 3 weeks.
Exactly. It gives you control.
And GA4 represents this complete paradigm shift from the old way of just tracking page views to a much more complex event-based model that maps user journeys across multiple devices.
That's way more technical.
Yeah, and you can't just read a textbook about event-based tracking. You have to physically wire it up to understand how that data actually flows.
And that wiring process requires a structured environment where mistakes can be diagnosed. You can't just guess.
Right.
So you start seeing practical assignments and case studies introduced to this intermediate stage. It provides a solid middle ground, sure, but it still falls short of the demands of a modern agency, which is why the source outlines the advanced tier.
The heavy hitters. The programs designed to actually transition you from a student to an active practitioner.
Exactly. The advanced tier introduces complex algorithmic strategies. The guide points to things like performance max campaigns, shopping campaigns, AI-powered marketing workflows, and deep landing page optimization.
And performance max is like the perfect example of why this advanced training is even necessary.
Oh, absolutely.
Because with a traditional search campaign, you know, you pick your keywords, you write your text, and you bid. It's manual. You can wrap your head around it.
It's very linear.
But performance max is essentially a black box. You feed Google's machine learning algorithm this massive variety of text, images, and video assets, and you just ask the AI to mix, match, and serve them across YouTube, search, display, and Gmail simultaneously.
Right, you're doing the heavy lifting.
But if you don't understand the underlying logic of how to feed that algorithm the correct audience signals in the first place, man, the AI will burn through a client's entire monthly budget in 48 hours on completely useless clicks.
Just poof, gone.
Yeah.
And that right there is the exact mechanism that separates theory from practice.
Yeah.
The source is adamant that your initial question when browsing these courses should never be, you know, which of these is the cheapest?
Which is what everyone asks.
Right. But the only valid question is, which of these programs provides the specific environmental pressure needed to make me actually employable?
Environmental pressure, I like that.
Yeah, because paying a marginal fee for outdated theory is ultimately just a sunk cost. Mm. Whereas a premium fee that translates into a lucrative job offer is a high-yield investment.
Okay, but wait. Here's where I have to play devil's advocate for a minute.
Go for it.
We are living in an era of unprecedented information abundance. I mean, the platforms themselves, Google, Meta, they publish thousands of hours of free tutorials on how to use their systems. And there are endless YouTube channels completely dedicated to this stuff. So why pay a premium institute at all when the information is freely accessible online?
It really comes down to the difference between static data and a dynamic ecosystem.
Okay, explain that.
So free tutorials are fantastic for learning the basic architecture of a platform at a specific moment in time.
Sure.
But performance marketing is a live auction. It changes daily based on consumer behavior, competitor bids, algorithm updates, you name it.
It's always moving.
Exactly. So the premium you are paying for an advanced course is driven by four specific operational costs that an institute incurs to actually simulate that live auction.
Right. And the first of those cost drivers being trainer expertise. And I imagine we aren't talking about academics just like reading from a slideshow here.
No, not at all. You are paying for active mentorship from industry practitioners, like people who are doing the job right now.
Right.
Because a video from 6 months ago might tell you the best practice for setting up an attribution window. But an active mentor running campaigns today can tell you that, oh, hey, an iOS update actually broke that attribution window last Tuesday.
Wow, yeah.
And here is the strategic work around the industry is currently using today. A mentor explains the causality behind a failed campaign.
They diagnose it.
Exactly. They can look at your data and say, hey, your cost per click is fine, but your landing page bounce rate indicates a massive disconnect in your messaging. Free content teaches you how to launch. Expert mentorship teaches you how to debug.
I'd even go a step further on that. I think an expert mentor provides psychological safety.
Oh, that's a great point.
Because when you are staring at a dashboard and you realize you just wasted $500 of actual ad spend and generated zero leads, panic sets in.
Cold panic.
But a mentor guides you through the forensic analysis of that failure. They show you it's a learning opportunity. But to even experience that failure in the first place, you need the second cost driver, which is live projects.
And the source material is totally uncompromising on this point. A premium course has to allocate actual budgets, or at the very least, highly sophisticated data-rich simulations for students to manage.
Because you can't learn to drive by watching a video of traffic.
Exactly. You have to feel the anxiety of pacing a budget over a 30-day period.
Checking it every morning.
Right. You have to run an A-B test, gather the statistical significance, and actually declare a winner based on the data, not just a guess. Institutes spend heavily to maintain these live sandbox environments.
And to even operate in that sandbox, you need the third driver, which is industry tool access.
Right. Seamless integration with the actual software stacks used by real agencies.
Beyond just the basic ad managers themselves.
Yeah. This includes premium keyword research tools, competitive intelligence platforms, data visualization software stuff that's expensive. The Institute licenses these tools in bulk to give you hands-on experience, so you don't have to go buy individual enterprise subscriptions.
Which would cost a fortune. But reading through the Brawley Academy guide, there was a fourth cost driver that really stood out to me as, like, the most urgent modern necessity.
Let me guess. AI integration.
Yes. AI integration. I mean, the landscape of media buying has fundamentally shifted in just the last 2 years.
It's wild how fast it happened.
Generative AI is no longer a novelty. It is a structural component of campaign planning now.
And the guide heavily emphasizes this integration. An advanced curriculum in 2026 mandates AI-powered workflows.
What does that look like in practice?
We are talking about utilizing large language models for predictive audience modeling, generating hundreds of ad copy variations for multivariate testing in seconds, automating the creative optimization.
Stuff that used to take teams of people weeks to do.
Exactly. And the speed at which AI tools evolve means static, free videos on YouTube are obsolete almost instantly. You are paying a premium to learn the most current AI prompt engineering tailored specifically for these ad platform algorithms.
Okay, so let's look at the timeline here. You're a student, you've evaluated the tiers, you've paid the premium fee, you've engaged with these expert mentors, managed the live budgets, mastered the AI workflows.
You've done the work.
You complete the program. Naturally, you expect a tangible reward. You expect a certificate.
Of course.
But the source issues this rather stark warning about the perceived value of that actual piece of paper.
It really does. It delineates this harsh reality between what terms an institute certificate and actual industry certifications.
Hey, break that down for us.
So an institute certificate is largely ceremonial. It validates that your tuition cleared and you attended the required hours.
Basically a participation trophy?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
It is proof of participation. Industry certifications, however, are the standardized credentials administered by Google, Meta, or HubSpot directly.
Oh, okay.
A rigorous training program will ensure you possess the technical knowledge required to pass those specific globally recognized exams.
But, and I think this is crucial, even an industry certification has its limits, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like if I'm a hiring manager at a tech firm and I post a listing for a growth marketing associate, I am going to receive 300 resumes by the end of the day.
Easily.
And 250 of those resumes are going to list the exact same Google Ads search certification at the top. The information required to pass that exam is utterly commoditized at this point. The certificate just proves you have a decent memory.
And the source validates that exact scenario. Recruiters are completely blind to certificates in isolation. They just scan right past them.
Really?
Yeah. In the modern hiring landscape, a certificate is only activated if it is tethered to a comprehensive portfolio.
The actual proof of work.
Exactly. The guide lists the precise questions an employer will ask during an interview, and I promise you, none of them involve recounting textbook definitions.
What are they asking instead?
They will ask things like, can you walk me through a campaign you optimized from the ground up? How did you specifically structure your conversion tracking for this client? Show me a GA4 report you built and explain the story the data is telling you about where users are dropping off.
They are probing for causality.
Exactly.
They want to see your GTM implementation maps, your return on ad spend analysis, your AI-generated asset testing logs. Like, if you walk out of an expensive training program with a beautifully framed certificate, but no digital portfolio documenting your strategic decision-making, man, your investment is essentially stranded capital.
Stranded capital, that's a great way to put it. A program that does not mandate the creation of a portfolio as a strict graduation requirement is fundamentally failing its students.
Regardless of how prestigious the brand name of the school is.
Exactly. The portfolio is the literal translation of your education into economic value.
Okay, let's follow that thread a bit further. So yeah. You have the skills, you have the industry certifications, and you have this robust, data-rich portfolio. You are objectively qualified.
You ready to go?
But being qualified is completely different from being visible.
Oh, definitely.
Getting that portfolio in front of the right hiring manager, you know, actually navigating those automated applicant tracking systems and landing the interview is an entirely separate discipline.
Which brings us to probably the most contentious element, of course, pricing, placement assistance.
Yes. And it is arguably the primary lever that these institutes use to justify a massive price hike.
It really is.
And I have to push back on the ethics of this practice just a little bit.
Fair enough.
Because placement assistance often operates as this very vague, nebulous marketing gimmick. It feels like an incredibly easy way for an institute to prey on the anxiety of vulnerable job seekers by just whispering the promise of employment without having to actually deliver anything concrete.
That's a very valid concern. Yeah. And the guide actually acknowledges that risk, which I appreciate. That's why it provides a framework for distinguishing between passive promises and active, structured support.
Okay, what does passive support look like?
Passive support is an institute simply forwarding your resume to a generic list of employer email addresses.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's useless.
Right. That does not justify a premium fee whatsoever. Active placement support, on the other hand, operates as a rigorous bridge between the classroom and the corporate ecosystem. And it generally involves three very specific interventions.
Okay, let's break those interventions down, starting with the resume.
Right, intensive resume building. And to be clear, this goes far beyond basic formatting and spell checking.
It's not just picking a nice font.
Exactly. It is the strategic process of tailoring a CV to highlight the specific metrics modern recruiters are actually scanning for.
Give me an example.
It involves teaching a student how to translate something generic, like I write a Facebook ad project, into something impactful, like manage $10,000 ad spend utilizing dynamic creative optimization, resulting in a 3x return on ad spend.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds way better.
It's about speaking the language of business outcomes.
It's basically a translation engine.
Exactly.
So the second intervention is where I think the real hidden value actually lies. Mock interviews.
Oh, 100%.
Because knowing the mechanics of conversion tracking is a technical skill. But articulating your strategy for fixing a broken tracking pixel to a skeptical hiring manager who is aggressively questioning your logic, that is a performance skill.
Completely different skill set. And mock interviews simulate that exact environmental pressure. They force candidates to defend their portfolio choices in real time.
Which is nerve-wracking.
Very. Often, students possess the knowledge, but they just freeze under questioning because they haven't practiced retrieving and organizing that information verbally.
Right. They've only ever typed it.
Exactly. So structured mock interviews build the specific muscle memory required to project confidence and technical competence simultaneously.
Okay. So the final piece of the placement puzzle is career guidance, which reading the guide seems vital because performance marketing is not just a monolith.
No, the field is heavily segmented. An active placement program helps a student audit their own strengths to determine their optimal career trajectory.
Because not everyone wants to do the same thing.
Right. Are they highly analytical? Well, maybe that makes them an ideal PPC specialist, focusing strictly on search intent. Or are they more attuned to audience psychology? Maybe they lean towards a media buyer role on social platforms.
It's about finding the right fit.
Exactly. The program helps them parse out the nuances between joining a fast-paced, high-pressure agency, or maybe integrating into a slower, more resourced in-house corporate team, or even establishing the infrastructure to operate as an independent freelancer.
So if you are evaluating a course, the takeaway here is that you must demand operational proof of this bridge. You have to ask the admissions team for specific examples, like show me your mock interview rubrics or walk me through your portfolio review processes before you hand over your credit card.
Yeah, you need to know exactly what machinery powers their placement claims. Don't just take their word for it.
Absolutely. Okay, so we have defined the anatomy of a valuable training program. We know we need expert practitioners teaching live budgets, integrating AI workflows, forcing portfolio creation, and providing active interview coaching.
That's the baseline for a premium course.
Right. So the final variable to solve is the actual delivery mechanism. How do you consume this education? Because in a post-2020 world, the default assumption is that asynchronous online learning is universally superior just because of the sheer convenience.
It's what everyone defaults to. But the source actually provides a highly nuanced analysis of delivery formats. It refuses to declare a universal winner.
Really?
Yeah, because the optimal choice is entirely dependent on a student's baseline discipline and their geographic reality.
Okay, let's examine online training first.
Well, the advantages are pretty obvious for working professionals or individuals living outside major tech hubs. It eliminates commute time and offers immense flexibility.
You can do it in your pajamas.
Exactly. However, the guide issues a very critical caveat here. A premium online course cannot just be a passive library of pre-recorded videos.
Right, it can't just be a Netflix subscription for marketing.
Exactly. It must facilitate live, instructor-led sessions and dedicated doubt-solving forums.
Because if you are listening to this deep dive on your commute right now, you might be thinking, well, I only have time for asynchronous videos late at night.
Which is fair.
It is, but you have to ask yourself a hard question about your own psychology. Do you have the sheer willpower to push through a complex GA4 integration when the interface updates and suddenly none of the buttons match the video tutorial you're watching?
That is the ultimate test.
Right. If you cannot raise your hand in a live environment and ask a mentor why your specific data stream is broken, you are not receiving premium value. You're just paying a very high subscription fee for a video player.
Which brings us to the case for offline training. The traditional physical classroom forces a structured learning environment that naturally combats procrastination.
You have somewhere to be at a specific time.
Exactly. But the guide highlights a secondary, often overlooked advantage of offline learning: localized networking.
Ah, the serendipity of proximity.
Yes. Sitting physically next to peers who are wrestling with the exact same complex AI workflows, interacting face-to-face with industry professionals who visit as guest lecturers.
You're building a network.
These micro-interactions build relationships. In tech hubs like Hyderabad, where this institute is based, those organic classroom connections frequently bypass the entire placement process altogether and evolve directly into job referrals.
Wow, so it really just requires evaluating your own need for external accountability versus physical community.
Exactly.
Okay, to synthesize all of this, the Brawley Academy guide concludes with what they call the ultimate checklist, basically a gauntlet to run any prospective institute through.
And the primary directive of this checklist is actually totally counterintuitive. Ignore the price tag and
Just ignore it. Why?
because fixating on the fee skews your perception of value right out of the gate. Instead, audit the curriculum. Does it explicitly cover 2026 methodologies, specifically generative AI and GA4 architecture?
Look at the actual nuts and bolts.
Right. Then evaluate the trainer profiles. Are their LinkedIn histories populated with active agency roles or just years of academic teaching?
You also have to interrogate the batch size, right?
Oh, absolutely. An online cohort of 20 students allows for personalized portfolio teardowns. But a Zoom call with 200 muted microphones, that's just a lecture hall where you can hide.
You're not getting any attention there.
None. And the final checkpoint involves auditing student reviews. But the guide warns against trusting aggregated five-star ratings because those are easily manipulated.
Anyone can buy a bunch of five-star reviews.
Exactly. You must read the detailed long-form reviews to locate specific mentions of how the institute handled placement support and portfolio billing. You are looking for qualitative evidence of career transformation, not just a high star count.
Okay, let's bring this all into focus. We started by looking at a fundamental discrepancy. Two courses, identical syllabus, vastly different fees. And I think the resolution to that mystery is that the true value of a professional upskilling program, whether you are learning performance marketing, data science, or full stack development, it does not live in the syllabus.
No, not at all.
The value lives entirely in the execution.
It is entirely about the return on investment generated by the friction of practical application.
Yes. So when you are preparing to invest capital into your own career, you must demand access to live simulated environments. You need to ensure the curriculum is deeply integrated with modern technical realities like AI optimization engines.
Don't settle for outdated material.
Exactly. You must insist on an educational architecture that forces you to document your strategic thinking into a tangible portfolio, because as we've learned, the corporate world has moved far beyond the credentialism of basic certificates.
The certificate isn't enough anymore.
And if you are paying a premium for career support, verify that the support is active, demanding, and structured to actually survive a hostile interview environment.
That really is the definitive framework for protecting your capital and ensuring your education translates into leverage.
So, to you listening, protect your time. Demand practical, measurable value for every single dollar you spend. Do not reflexively shop for the absolute cheapest option, but also refuse to blindly subsidize a premium price tag without auditing the underlying mechanics. Make the Institute prove the value of their bridge before you pay the toll.
Well said. And, you know, there's one final overarching implication embedded within this guide that I think completely reframes this entire discussion.
Oh, what's that?
Well, the source material is explicitly designed to help a student become highly employable, right?
Yep.
To secure a position at a prestigious agency or a corporate marketing department.
The ultimate goal is getting hired by someone else.
Exactly. But consider the actual mechanics of what you are mastering here. If you undergo an advanced premium program, you are learning how to deploy capital efficiently across digital networks.
Okay.
You're learning how to track consumer behavior, optimize conversion rates, and utilize AI to generate persuasive creative assets at scale. You are, quite literally, learning the exact science of customer acquisition.
Oh, wow. You're learning the architecture of a business.
Exactly. You might enter a premium performance marketing course, seeking a portfolio to hand to a recruiter. But what if the ultimate return on investment is realizing you possess the exact skill set required to bootstrap, launch, and scale your very own product or service entirely from scratch?
That's incredible. You're learning how to build and operate the engine of modern commerce.
Right. Why hand the keys to someone else when you can drive it yourself?
That is a brilliant pivot. You aren't just learning how to market a product for a corporation. You're acquiring the leverage to bypass the traditional corporate hierarchy completely and build for yourself. We'll leave you to mull that one over.